Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about false prophets. Our story has had to be severely edited for time, but it was a very well-written piece by Julia Duin for ReligionUnplugged.com and is entitled, Charismatics Are at War with Each Other Over Failed Prophecies of Trump Victory. Seattle. A day of reckoning has come for modern-day prophets in the Pentecostal charismatic movement who falsely foretold a victory for President Trump in 2020. One charismatic leader calls it a rebuke from the Lord. A major speaker in the movement calls it the largest-scale deception I've seen in 49 years of following Jesus. And yet another pastor is blasting parts of the movement as being sick. Privately and on social media, these prophets and their thousands of followers are slugging it out in an orgy of self-blame, recriminations, and fantastical hopes that somehow, before January 20th, God will bring about a victory for Trump. Others who've apologized for getting it wrong have gotten accusations, curses, and even death threats. Jeremiah Johnson, a Charlotte, North Carolina-based evangelist, who in 2015 prophesied Trump would gain the White House a year later, and in 2019 prophesied Trump would win a second term, says his life was threatened after apologizing and saying on Facebook on January 7th he wished to repent for mistaken prophecy. Over the last 72 hours, I have received multiple death threats and thousands upon thousands of emails from Christians saying the nastiest and most vulgar things I have ever heard toward my family and ministry. I've been labeled a coward, sellout, a traitor to the Holy Spirit, and cussed out at least 500 times. We have lost ministry partners every hour and counting. In the post that got 1,900 comments, Johnson said, "I fully expected to be called a false prophet, etc., in some circles. But I could never have dreamed in my wildest imagination that so much satanic attack and witchcraft would come from charismatic, prophetic people," he continued. "I have been flabbergasted at the barrage of continued conspiracy theories being sent every minute our way and the pure hatred being unleashed. To my great heartache, I'm convinced parts of the prophetic charismatic movement are far sicker than I could have ever dreamed of. I truthfully never realized how absolutely triggered and ballistic thousands and thousands of saints get about Donald Trump." Johnson is part of a modern-day movement known as the New Apostolic Reformation that believes that biblical-style apostles and prophets exist today and are meant to guide the church. At least 40 charismatic Christian leaders predicted Trump's re-election starting around 2018, according to J. Gordon Melton, 78, the venerable compiler of the Encyclopedia of American Religions and an American Religious Studies professor at Baylor University. "Only a handful of prophets got it right in the 2016 election," said Melton. "So they all jumped into this election with one exception, a black prophet from North Carolina whose name it did not recall, and they were all wrong." "This is the second major hit this movement has taken in less than a year," he added. "The first was during a prophetic summit last year. Last November, when evangelist Cindy Jacobs had her meeting in Dallas, none of the prophets at that meeting, and it was the elite who were there, none of them hinted that anything like the coronavirus was coming," Melton said. "That has come back to haunt them." Some in the movement are holding out for some kind of last-minute miracle from God that would magically reverse the election and install Trump as president on January 20th. The Dallas-based Kenneth Copeland Ministries is one. On January 7th, host Gene Bailey and several other prophets appeared on a ministry broadcast known as Flashpoint, floated conspiracy theories about the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. All of them encouraged listeners to continue believing in prophecies of a Trumpian victory. Many are on the side of, let's attack one another, let's get on social media and attack the prophets, and let's draw the sword on one another, said the Reverend Hank Kuhneman, pastor of Hosts Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And I think that is the greatest mistake we can make as true patriots, true Christians, and those of us that are in the body of Christ. God had personally assured him that there would be a miraculous outcome, he added. "I'm telling you that that's what we're getting ready to see," he said, "and I don't know how that's going to play out. I just know this thing is not over." Kat Kerr, a Jacksonville, Florida prophetess known for her flaming pink hair, agreed. "God assured me in 2015 that Trump would sit in the White House for 8 years," she said, "and God assures me today that when he walked into my room at noon, well, almost noon, 11:55 a.m., he yelled as loud as he possibly could, 'Justice will prevail.'" Many, NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, prophets tell vague events that are hard to disprove, Melton said, but the specificity of these election prophecies are impossible to live down. James Beverly, a research professor at Tyndale University in Toronto, went further in calling the matter the most significant crisis in the history of modern charismatic prophecy that he has seen in 40 years of studying the movement. So if you haven't heard of Jeremiah Johnson, don't worry, I hadn't either. But apparently he's kind of a big deal in the NAR movement, and so that means that a lot of people listen to him when he claims to have a word from God. But honestly, I don't really want to talk about Jeremiah Johnson today. I'm not really interested in him, nor am I interested in any other false prophet, because that is what he is. I'm not sure if you've noticed how careful even the author of this article was to make sure they all picked up the turd from the clean end. Nowhere is the title false prophet or the expression false prophecy used, except in a way of defending these people. The title talks about failed prophecies. Failed. Huh. Like, in the sense of false? See, I'm a language guy. You probably know that if you listen, but I'm into languages. And I think that the words we choose are very important. And when people write articles or public apologies, normally the verbiage is pretty massaged. Now, if you go to Jeremiah Johnson's Facebook page, which I have, and that's time that I'll never get back, by the way, you'll notice that all, and I mean all of his language, just drips with biblical expressions and terminology. It is also replete with conservative lingo, terms like liberal agenda, apparently come to Johnson from God in prophecy, which is odd, but it's also chock full of the dialectical idiom of the extreme branch of the charismatic movement. But seriously, his verbiage is very biblical. And the author of this article, she seems pretty hip to the lingo, biblical and otherwise, and she used the term failed prophecy in the title of her article. She does go on to use the word false, but in the title, it's called a failed prophecy. Why would she choose to use the term failed prophecy? Well, I have some pretty expensive Bible and theology software, so I did a search. I searched all of my resources, and there are tens of thousands of resources available to me in this search. And do you know how many times the term failed prophecy came up? The search yielded 43 results in 34 articles from 29 different sources. All of them modern, like 1950s to today modern. And some of them were junk. For instance, the word failed ended a sentence and the word prophecy started a new one. However, when I searched false prophecy, that search yielded 849 results in 558 articles in 268 resources. That's an order of magnitude times two. And it's spread out over time. The earliest Christian writers, we see in the Ante-Nicene Fathers, the term false prophecy being used. And most significantly, false prophecy is a biblical term. You know, an expression God used when he revealed himself to man. Yet not a single Bible translation I know of uses the term failed prophecy. So the author of the article, she uses a term that is seemingly very new and also not biblical for false prophecy. Like I said, it seems to me that she's being overly generous in her description of what is a capital crime in the Old Testament economy. But like I said, Jeremiah Johnson is a man who knows how to use biblical language. Read his apology. Nowhere, and I know that it isn't there because I searched his entire apology. Nowhere in his apology does the expression false prophecy appear. Indeed, the word false isn't even there. Friends, control F is a powerful tool. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Read his apology. Do the search yourself. Control F will allow you to search for specific words in web text. The word wrong appears three times. The only descriptor he gives of the false prophecy itself is when he says that he was inaccurately prophesying. Inaccurately prophesying. You mean that thing that would get you stoned to death by God's command? Yeah, you mean false prophesying? Nope, no he doesn't. Because if he admitted he falsely prophesied, he'd have to admit he's a false prophet, and he ain't gonna do that. Now, you might ask, well, is there a distinction with a difference between an inaccurate prophecy and a false one? No. No, there isn't. If there were, then the Bible would help us to make that distinction, but it doesn't help us to make that distinction because there isn't a distinction, because there is no difference between inaccurately prophesying and falsely prophesying, because someone who prophesies falsely inaccurately prophesies falsely, and whoever prophesies falsely is a false prophet. Friends, this is not some small issue. If you're claiming to be a prophet, And I'm not saying that prophets cannot exist or even that they do not exist. I'm not a hard cessationist. I think God can and does and will continue to give people insight into the future. But here's the thing. Someone who claims to be a prophet is claiming to have heard directly from God and is speaking the very word of God. What if I go into a pulpit of a Sunday morning and just start incorrectly using the Bible and quoting verses that are not there and then just making up my own verses? Would you like that? Would you stand for it? No self-respecting Christian would or should stand for it. If you got a pastor changing the Bible to suit his needs, then he isn't worthy of being called a pastor. People who try to change the Word of God are unworthy to serve the God of the Word. Now, if you wouldn't tolerate a pastor messing with God's written Word, why on earth would you tolerate someone inventing God's spoken Word? There is no meaningful difference at all between these things. None. And anybody who claims that there is a meaningful difference between a false prophecy and a failed prophecy is probably someone who has uttered a fair few false prophecies, or a devotee of someone who has uttered a lot of false prophecies. And by the way, if you'd like a trip down the rabbit hole, go and look at the people who are defending Jeremiah Johnson after he apologized. He says he's wrong like 3 times. He says, "I was wrong." And these people are saying, "How dare you say you're wrong?" Look at the comments in the post, his Facebook post where he links to his apology. It is insane. People are mad at him for apologizing. Johnson prophesied that President Trump would be elected. Not that he would become president again through a military action of some kind or through some other fanatical and fantastical fever dream scenario where a military coup disrupts the transfer of power and Donald Trump established a junta to root out corruption and drain the swamp. But people are vociferously, or at least using a lot of capital letters in their Facebook comments, telling Johnson that he's being a coward for apologizing for uttering a false prophecy. Johnson says plainly, "I was wrong." And people are making the most ludicrous and outrageous comments defending and extolling him. I repeatedly saw the comment that God is not bound by time. No, he isn't. But he operates in time and we cannot exist out of time. So for a time-bound prophecy, like a re-election, to have any meaning, it has to be fulfilled within the bounds of time established by the time-bound prophecy. For heaven's sake, one woman even said that Johnson was throwing God under the bus. Now look, the comments section of the internet is the cloaca of humanity. We all know this. And in a country of 330 million people, it isn't hard to find a few thousand cranks and crackpots. As of now, there are about 4,000 comments on his apology video. And even if all of those comments came from unique individuals and they were all positive towards Johnson, which they are not, that's 4,000 people out of 330 million. That's one in every 82,500 people. Friends, that's a ratio of the population that approaches statistical zero. That's not a significant portion of the populace. That is statistically insignificant. But here's the thing. People aren't insignificant statistical anomalies. They're people. And while there are only a few thousand people who've commented in support of Johnson and want him to continue asserting that he was right even when he was demonstrably wrong, let me repeat that. He was demonstrably wrong. He uttered a demonstrably false prophecy, not some vague, nebulous bit of jargony self-help or the huckster's favorite cold reading. Things like nebulous promises of favor and cold reading are almost impossible to prove wrong because they're open to interpretation and are deliberately vague. But Johnson et al., they gave specific, time-bound and verifiable and falsifiable prophecies that are demonstrably false. It has been demonstrated. The states received the votes. They certified the elections. The Electoral College elected President-elect Biden. The Congress rubber-stamped it. Nothing can change the fact that those who claim Trump would be reelected in 2020 were wrong. It can be and has been demonstrated. They were wrong. This is irrespective of fraud. This is irrespective of any illegal and unconstitutional action that may take place hereafter. Donald Trump may rally the military and stage a coup and sit in the Oval Office. Elvis might also still be alive. Lots of things could happen. Lots of things are possible. But just because something is possible doesn't make it probable, and it doesn't mean that a false prophecy is right. And the sad thing is that those who support Johnson now will continue to support him after President Biden is sworn in, and President Trump goes off to live in Eastern Europe, which is swiftly becoming the last place where free thought is legal. Imagine that. People will support Johnson and claim that his prophecy was right after Trump is dead, because they'll say he was elected by God, and we didn't live up to God, or some other lunatic answer. Friends, psychologists have a word for this behavior. It's called delusion. And God doesn't want us to be delusional. God commands us to test prophets. The command in the Old and New Testaments. Read Corinthians. The problem we have is not a failure to have faith on the part of those who doubt these charlatan prophets, but a failure to respect the word of God and to take it seriously. When we can flippantly accept man's word when it is clearly false and makes a mockery of God's word, then the problem is that we do not have sufficient respect for God's word. We need to turn off our TVs and our computers and our Twitter boxes and pick up our Bibles and let God's word shape our minds and hearts and stop relying on these frauds and false prophets. We'd be a lot better off, and we wouldn't have to live in embarrassing self-delusion either. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.